It has been such a privilege for Laurie and myself and our three granddaughters to experience this worship with you. It's sweet, and Jesus Christ is the focus, and I praise God for that. I want to let you know that about 12 or 12 and a half years ago, I passed my ordination exams for the OPC in this building. And I want to let you know that this past September, the man who replaced me passed his ordination exams in this building. Bethel has played a big part in our lives. You may not realize it, but you helped my family when my daughter was very ill. Most people in this congregation don't know that. But we praise God for Bethel. We praise God for your leaders. We thank God for the providence of having Dr. Schrock at this time. And if he should call him, praise God. His will be done. But I am thankful, very thankful. Well, I want to have us open our Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. One of your good elders gave a very good lesson on this psalm, or rather on the Aaronic benediction, I think a week or so ago from Numbers. And I'm just going to touch on that with this sermon. But if you'll think back at that good teaching, this adds to it. Psalm 67, beginning at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, and our majestic and marvelous God, we pray that you would open the floodgates for your sheep to come into your fold. We pray, dear Lord, that Jesus would become a friend to sinners, a friend who never fails them and comforts when they fail themselves, who makes them to rise on eagle's wings and brings them to their heavenly home. Father, we thank you for this pilgrimage that we're on, but there are many who do not know you. Make us the kind of people and give us those resources that can reach them as your ambassadors, as your people. We ask, O Lord, that in Wheaton, Illinois, in Chicago, in the colleges, in every corner, that you would bring your sheep in and that you would make us mindful that we once walked in darkness. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us in Doniphan and that you would bring your sheep in there. The mechanics, the nurses. Bring them in, Lord, to your fold so that they might rejoice like we did this morning and like we're doing right now. Give us hearts. Fill us with Jesus. May your Holy Spirit be our strength and our power, and may he make our character like Christ. We pray, dear Lord, for these things and ask your blessing upon tonight. Thank you for each one who is here. And above all, may your word go into our hearts and not return void. And may the world be impacted by it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was a little boy, I had a little red box that held all of my money. I received a weekly allowance for doing three things. I had three chores. I had to take out the trash every day. I had to make my bed every day. And believe it or not, I was so blessed to have to brush my teeth as a chore. And I would get a weekly allowance, and I would put that weekly allowance in my little red box. Around the ages of 12 to 14, I mowed four lawns in our neighborhood. In the late 1960s in St. Louis County, that pulled in about $18 a week, and I would carefully put my money in my little red box. Oh, I wouldn't spend it. I was just happy to know that it was tucked safely away. But as a young person, I had yet to experience the transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in what it means to be a vital part of Christ's church and to learn with the psalmist here what he is teaching, what it means to earnestly pray with the saints for God to bless his people, both spiritually and materially, so that those resources might be used for others to find a friend in Jesus Christ and give praise to God. Now that mindset would eventually put a whole new perspective on my little red box. And that's what this psalm is all about. It's certainly not about the prosperity gospel, because the prosperity gospel is no gospel at all, because it has an emphasis on you being blessed for your own sake. This is for the sake of your unsaved mom. This is for the sake of your unsaved brother, your unsaved cousin, your neighbor, your friend, your mechanic, your teacher, and for all those lost sheep who are in Uganda and Ukraine and throughout the world. Because only the true and glorious gospel of our Lord could produce a godly desire to be blessed for the sake of others. Again, the red box represents all of our God-given blessings, both spiritual in the gospel as well as material blessings. Blessings given to us from God. For every blessing comes from above for the purpose of God's people with hearts that have been renewed and changed and transformed by the power of the gospel to bring a great harvest of souls for Jesus Christ. As sinners, we like to compartmentalize everything. And we hold back certain things from being devoted to God. But when we enter God's kingdom by God's grace, on God's terms, and because God is so glorious to have allowed us to become a part of His mission here on this pilgrimage, we have a responsibility to be wholly His. And everything that we are, everything that we have, is His and dedicated to Him, beginning in the home. Praise God for our covenant children. Our greatest evangelistic work starts in the covenant home, but it doesn't stay there. It moves outside into the neighborhood in our Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world. It's possible that this psalm was part of the temple liturgy in Israel. Indeed, the opening verse is based on the Aaronic benediction that was bestowed on Israel just prior to Israel leaving Mount Sinai on their way to the promised land. But I think it's more likely that this was a psalm sung in praise to God during one of Israel's harvest festivals. And the reason I chose this psalm for this evening is because I believe God is mightily at work here at Bethel. And what was true for Israel is also true for us. We are the children of Abraham. God's purpose in blessing His people is always to bring blessing through them to the whole world. We're blessed to be a blessing. Well, that's the God-glorifying twist of Psalm 67. We are blessed by God to be a blessing to the nations. There are three stanzas in this short psalm. And the three stanzas are divided by a repeated phrase that we find in verse 3 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. I would like for us to say that together this evening, those two lines, because at several different times during the message, I'd like for you to say them. So would you please say them now? First listen. Let the peoples praise you, O God, together. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Listen. Let all the peoples praise you, together. Let all the peoples praise you. The only way you can get confused is in the way you start out. Any other differences or slight Very slight, and you won't have a problem with them. The first line, let the peoples. The second line, let all the peoples. So let's try it together, both lines. Let the peoples, let all. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This evening, I want us to see from this psalm that God has a great purpose in blessing His people. The first stanza shows us God's blessing and a great harvest, verses 1 to 3. The second stanza shows God's blessing and joyful singing, verses 4 and 5. And the third stanza shows us that God's blessing is assured, verses 6 and 7. Verses 1 to 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us so that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. What an awesome desire for God's people to have. The psalmist is praying for God's grace and blessing and presence so that through you and me, God would make His saving power known among every nation on earth. The scope of this psalm for the time that it was written is a mind blower. Years earlier, our covenant God had already told childless Abraham in Genesis 12, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. That's the way God works. And you and I can trace the outworking of this promised blessing of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. God always keeps his covenant promise. And we can continue to trace that blessing all the way to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Abraham's greater son whose blood is shed and who causes a holy God to smile upon us through faith alone. Who wouldn't want that? We can continue to trace that blessing to Christ's resurrection and then in the giving of his church, the great commission to go into all the world making disciples as his people go. And we can trace the spreading flame of Christ's church in the Acts of the Apostles and beyond. Jesus is the big stir in our hearts. He's why we live. He is life. For in him is life. And we want everyone, without distinction, every people group, even in Chicago, whatever people group you can come up with. And Zach Meadows gave us some good descriptions today. I wouldn't say Zachary, though. Brothers and sisters, if you understand the psalmist's heart for you, inscribed at the time of the writing, many years prior to Christ, and you understand the undeserved eternal wealth you hold today in Jesus Christ, you and I, if we fully understood it, would never go forward just watching our blessings accumulate. It's actually the Old Testament saints that show us the way. Even without New Testament light, every born again Israelite was blessed by God with a new heart of faith that impacted his family, and he and his family were players in God's grand story that stretched far beyond the boundaries of their own lands, their own lives, and their own time, and their own boxes, whatever color they were, and whatever size they were. Because no matter how much you have, when you have Jesus, you have everything. Or in their case, they had the fullness of salvation right there in the midst of their lives. They had it based on the promise of Christ. They were saved to the uttermost. That's the heart of this Harvest Festival song. And those that sang it, possibly at the harvest of ingathering, recognized that God always blesses his people for an awesome purpose. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. The other night I was able to watch with Greg and Kathy and Laurie and a moving documentary about the Mission Aviation Fellowship and their work, their mission work in Papua, Indonesia. It was so exciting to see these planes fly in and these people just wanting to learn because they'd heard that another tribe somewhere else had been taught. And you see this man teaching eventually in this tribe, and he puts dirt all over himself, and then he takes his shirt and he puts it on and says, this is like the righteousness of Christ. It covers our dirt. And God sees us through the righteousness of His Son. That is so exciting. And we even shed a few tears along the way because there was great sacrifices that were made. I just get excited about praying for lost people here in Wheaton and Donovan. That's so exciting. And through playing pickleball, I'm not saying lightning bolts come down or anything, but I praise God that I'm getting able to associate with people of all walks of life, minus nothing. That movement of pickleball is so big. A lot of people rubbing shoulders with me who live in darkness. And my prayer with you is that God would make me what I need to be. And give me what I need to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ as His ambassador. So may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us so that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Surely, if we look to God in unselfishness for blessing here in Wheaton, He will bless. As we cry out to Him and say, bless, bless us, that we might bless others. And You have, I've shared it, He will continue. And I pray that the floodgates would open. This brings up an interesting point that came to my mind. So let's just pause here a second, because we need to realize that the psalmist we need to realize with him that being a blessing to others is totally dependent on God blessing us. Normally we, at least I, have normally isolated my prayers for the lost. Lord, show them Your holiness. Convict them. Bring them to an understanding of who You are and who they are as sinners, and convict them, Lord. Bring people into their lives. And this psalm is saying, make us Your people and bless us so that we are ready and willing to be Your mouthpiece and sacrifice and open up our little red boxes. The psalmist understood that he was insufficient. You catch that in this. He feels inadequate in himself. God, You had better shine on us, because if You don't, we are not going to get even one step towards serving You and making a difference in this world. God had better bless him. He had better bless us, because without that, there's no blessing to share. And without God and His promised Messiah, the Old Testament saint is saying, I'm completely bankrupt. Oh, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. This is a prayer of dependence upon God. Jesus would later teach His disciples in John 15 that He was the vine and they were the branches. And without Him, they could do nothing. That's still the same, friends. May God shine here upon you at Bethel in His favorable presence. Shine here, shine in Donovan, and shine upon God's people everywhere. When God blesses, He blesses through those He blesses. And there is a harvest still to be had in Chicago and Donovan, throughout the OPC, and throughout the world. So, listen. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the people, oh God, let all the peoples praise you. Don't let me mess you up. Here we go. Ready? Together. Let the peoples praise you, oh God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then in verses 4, in verse 4, we see second, God's blessing and joyful singing. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Well, this is the climax of the psalm. The worship of God and the joyful singing that we experience each Lord's Day in conjunction with the angels of God worshiping in heaven. It gloriously anticipates this word does, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. It anticipates our own day in which we live, when a multitude of Gentiles throughout the earth acknowledge God's sovereign rule and righteous rule. He anticipated our day when God's people in every nation were glad and joyfully singing. Blessed Old Testament saints had this wonderful, wild, worldwide hope that centered squarely on the coming Redeemer and the impact it would make in the coming years. And we're living in it right now. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah prophesied concerning the coming one. Behold, your righteous king is coming to you. He is salvation. And he is bringing salvation to you. He is humble and mounted upon a donkey. Of course, Zechariah was anticipating the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem just 1 week before his death and resurrection. And as he was entering Jerusalem, Luke records that rejoicing and the praise of the multitudes was so loud that those who rejected Christ told Jesus to silence his disciples with a rebuke. And remember how Jesus responded? I tell you, if these disciples of mine were silent, these very stones would cry out. Of course the stones would cry out. The reason we're crying out is the reasons the stones would cry out. He's God incarnate, come to save sinners from their sins. He's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And as the psalmist says, he's absolutely just in his judgment of people. And he is sovereign over the nations, as we heard earlier, prayed. We see that in Paul's letter, that sovereignty hit us square on. We learn it from Ephesians. Once we Gentiles were separated from Christ, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, without any hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and in his flesh he has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. What is not to sing about? What is not to praise God about? What's missing there? Nothing is missing there. We sing for joy because Christ has done what we could never do for ourselves, and the Old Testament saints foresaw it, and we're living in it, rejoicing because of Christ's finished redemptive work, and he sits now at the right hand of God, sovereignly ruling over all things. That's a lot of blessing. That's a lot of blessing. And we, the book of Ephesians tells us, are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Jesus Christ. Try opening your little red box and putting that in it. We are so blessed. And we burst forth with joyful singing as a result. And when it's hard for us to sing, we go like this to our neighbor. And we say, I can't hear you. We burst forth into glad and joyful singing unto our God. And isn't it our desire for others to experience such glad blessing of heart by simply resting, young people, by simply resting in the sufficiency of who Jesus is and what he has done for us by living a righteous life so that we might have his righteousness and dying and paying the debt, our sin debt, on the cross of Calvary. What a Savior. Well, listen, let the peoples together, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God's blessing and a great harvest, God's blessing and great singing. And last, God's blessing assured. Verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. Our God shall bless us. Our God shall bless us. The psalmist suddenly moves to the past tense and says the earth has yielded its increase. And the earth yielding its increase for the Old Testament saint could be taken as a promise of future blessing from God. Our God shall bless us. Our God, he repeats it, shall bless us. Again, not in the sense of the prosperity gospel, but especially in the sense, the sense of spiritual fruit being yielded in our lives and in the lives of men and women and boys and girls throughout the earth who are brought into the light of God's kingdom in Jesus Christ because of the love and unselfish sacrifice among his people. He has blessed us, has he not? He's blessed us with jobs, money, possessions, homes. Zach's Sunday school class was comforting to me because he kept reminding the class that it's our circumstances where God has put us. He's given us homes. And if he hasn't given us homes, he's given us restaurants to take people to or parks. And he has blessed us to give hospitality to both the saved and the unsaved. He's given us wonderful brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Talents, energy, a faithful church. Have you prayed for your session lately because they are faithful? And Lord, please bring back Pastor Schrock. But the greatest blessing of all, and you know it, is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. All those things with which God has blessed you are now to be used as a blessing to reach others. Your gracious God saved you and blessed you in a multitude of ways. And God wants all that you are in him and all that you possess from him available for his glory in the expansion of his kingdom. I still marvel at the Old Testament's psalmist who wrote this psalm. How many seats have you got empty in your car when you come to worship? You have a heart of prayer. Just as one little example beginning here in your Jerusalem, you can pray, oh God, if there's a neighbor or a friend a child or someone older who would receive an invitation to come to church, then I've got a seat that is empty for you. If you would realize what that could mean and the gospel ripple that that could have throughout the whole world, we would be just on the floor. My wife, Laurie, when she was a little girl, her neighbor had two empty seats. Her family was living in darkness. Her sister, Becky, and Laurie were invited to church. And they filled those two seats for a number of years. Becky is now a missionary in China. And without her, where would I be? And the influence that Laurie has in her quiet way among people to love them, no matter who they are, is quite amazing. And she loves Christ Church. You can tell I like to talk about her. She's 4'9", truly sublime. But there came a day when Laurie's family needed more seats. Now her brother's a missionary. Her dad is a Christian. And her handicapped sister is a believer in Jesus Christ. And the ripple effect beyond that, I think, is too much for us to even comprehend. If God can take a little boy and take a few loaves of fish and a few loaves of bread and feed multitudes, there's going to be a harvest. And it starts with us asking God to bless us. There was one Sunday when I was preaching, and a woman in our church had a cell phone, and I was making an important point. And the cell phone all of a sudden said, "What was that? I didn't hear you." And if I was really on my toes, I would have repeated that gospel point and hammered it. But I wasn't. And I'm not going to make that mistake now. Together, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for your love and Jesus leaving the courts of heaven to come to this, the scum of this earth, and to fight our battles and to live righteously on our behalf, and then in obedience to die bearing the sins of God's people and paying the debt that set us free. Oh God, we know that there's more children in Chicago who will one day be in our cars or in this church. More adults. Lord, make us what you want us to be by blessing us in Christ, so that the world will come to praise you and sing blessings with us in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for this the ones who were able to make it tonight on Sunday. Go before us, Lord, in starting an evening service and bless us, we pray. And we ask all these things in the name of our friend and Savior and King and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.